to Rhymes Against Humanity, number 023. This is number one, actually, of season two. So have I thrown enough numerology at you right there? This is the first episode of season two. Last season, we ended strong with way back in April, I guess, with a couple of Bojasodes. We had the Jim Boja story beginning to end, and then we spent another hour talking about Beatles with Jim. And then we took a long break. Some would say too long. Some would say not long enough. Anyway, we took a big old break. And we are back now, kicking off season two of Rhymes Against We. It's just me and Queequeg, so I guess that counts as a we. How's it going, Q? He's staring out the window. So we're looking at Rhymes Against Humanity season two, and we're about to get into the first episode of season two. I was really fortunate to catch Adam Carroll and his wife, Chris Carroll, came by the studio. They had themselves a show in town, and they stopped by, and we spent an hour or so picking and grinning, not necessarily in that order. We had a real good time talking, and it was nice talking to some complete strangers. So please listen to Rhymes Against Humanity 023, Adam Carroll and Chris Carroll. And we will be back shortly with another episode. I got lots of great guests lined up for season two. So I hope you enjoy it. Please, again, you can like the Facebook page, the Rhymes Against Humanity with Adam Brodsky Facebook page, and other areas. You can follow me on the Twitters and et cetera, et cetera. So please, without further ado, give it up for the podcast that I recorded with Adam and Chris Carroll. So chillax. Here they come. Welcome to Rhymes Against Humanity, number who knows what. We're going to kick off season two with this one, and it's going to be a very, very special one, and I will tell you why in a second. And now 1 second is up. The reason it's so special, it's a couple of reasons. One is, this is the first, not counting that time in the dorm room of college, this is the first three-way I have ever had.
Oh.
I have, other than of course, something involving chili and spaghetti in Cincinnati. But I have never done had two of you at once here on the podcast. I hope it doesn't get awkward in the morning.
I don't know. I don't think I'll stick around till the morning.
Oh, you're that girl.
Yeah,
I gotta be somewhere. Yeah, I know
that's
her.
Right.
I know her.
I don't cuddle.
that's good. I mean, you know, for a road dog, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Especially, yeah, for a road dog, that's for sure.
It is also interesting in that this is the first time that I am having a podcast with people who I just met 5 fucking minutes ago.
No.
So, it could be the awkward silence podcast. You never know. So
let's start with that.
Yeah, we'll start. We'll get all the awkward silence out of the way, and then we'll do the John Cage cut first, and then we'll move along. So I am with, by the way, for those of you that are still listening, I am with Adam and Chris Carroll. Adam Carroll and Chris Carroll, a couple of songwriters from Texas, sort of.
Sort of.
Now, this I think is super interesting because you are a Canadian, Chris.
I am.
And you are a Texan. And for years and years, I have always said that Texans and Canadians, there is a synergy there, because neither one of you can go 24 hours without declaring where you are from.
That's right. You know what? You're so right
uh-huh.
about that. Actually, I'd be in Texas for the past couple of years now, and I have this little West Texas cowgirl and lady. She's older than me. She's been around. And I'd say we're in the CVS, and I'm confused. And I think I'm in Walgreens, or I'm confused. And I say, well, I'm from Canada. And she says, now you can't say that anymore. You're a Texan. You're in Texas now. So, yeah, you know what? That is so true.
Yeah, I have found that to be a certain similarity. And I love Texans. I mean, you know, not all of them. I mean, you know, your governor and such. But, and all that. But, I know. And I love all Canadians are just so darn nice. And you're from Ontario?
St. Catharines, Ontario.
All I know is Toronto. Where is
so
that?
It's in between Niagara Falls and Toronto.
There we go. Okay.
It's basically a suburb of Toronto.
There we go. You drive through it. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it on the lake?
It is. It's on Lake Ontario.
That's awesome.
On the way to Toronto.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So now you guys just came. You were in Canada just a couple of days ago.
We did, and we had a successful time across the border. Normally Adam gets pulled out and asked all kinds of questions and gear and guitars, and we left that stuff, and we got waved on through. And on the way back, I was concerned because of being a permanent resident. I have my paperwork.
Right.
I am a legal resident of the United States. However, there's always that fear of, you know, I'm starting a life here. I have a life here. And now I may have to stay in my own country.
So now you're allowed to work both sides of the border
legally. Now, and believe me, I'm doing it.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I did, this was a million years ago, but I did a tour once up the West Coast with Jeff Berner. I don't know if you know him. Songwriter from Vancouver.
I'm going to look into
it. And Carmeg DeForest. And we played two nights at the Railway Club in Vancouver, in British Columbia. And that was 70% of the money. And then the rest, you know, we got chump change all the way down to San Diego. And it's just, you know, you guys don't have to have an arm. Like, this was 2001. This was right after the world changed, but it hadn't really changed yet.
Yeah.
It's October 2001. And, you know, you guys don't have to have an army full of tanks to go beat up people and inflate corporate profits so you guys can give money to the arts and such.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
So,
I hope we can keep doing that. That'd be great.
Now, here's an interesting question that I have. Do you have Canadian? How does healthcare work for you?
That's funny that you mention it. Right now for me, it works like I pay like all the rest of my fellow American friends, my Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I had to explain that to my fellow Canadians. You know, when they'd ask me, and I'd say I pay a monthly fee, you know, to get my insurance, and then you have to meet a deductible, and they were all thinking that I was paying into the deductible by paying the fee, and that once you pay the deductible, you're good to go. And you guys are laughing because you know that's absolutely not the
truth. Of course
not.
And
so, you know, I've been living in the States now for a couple of years, and I have the Blue Cross because, you know, if I lose an arm or an eye or something,
right,
I need help. And I went home this past week, and I wanted to change some stuff up, and I actually went around to some of my agencies, and she took my health card. Like, I was, you know, she took it away from me. And the Canadian in me just screamed bloody murder. Like, she just took my health card because it's expired, and I can't get, you have to live in Canada for
right,
5 months to be able to be eligible.
Five whole months?
5 months.
That's crazy.
Months to live there. And that's how the healthcare is paid for, you know, the taxes and my contribution to the economy. So, by rights, you know, I'm not entitled to my Ontario benefits like I was before. And I'll tell you, it was like, you know, half the Canadian maple leaf was ripped in half for me at a moment there.
If you ever doubt
there's
how much...
song in there,
so. That's true. If you ever doubt how much she loves you, she gave up health care.
I gave up my health care for you.
I figured that out many, many, many moons ago.
A musician with health care, that's the dream, right?
I'm telling you. And we're going to get that for him. We'll go and live there when we get a little more established.
Nice.
We're going to go and establish residency.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm picking out my toque as we speak. Still haven't found the right one.
Well, Texans are very particular about their hats.
I know.
They really are.
I don't know much about hats. I do know that Stetson's, it's a Philadelphia company. So Stetson's are part of Philadelphia lore. And, you know, all the different various types of cowboy hats, you know, one's a Montana Slope, and there's a Stetson, and all these. And if you say the wrong thing, then you get shunned, and they don't give you a barbecue because you called it the wrong kind of hat. It's a whole
right,
thing.
You know, and that's a really cool thing to know, because now we can lay that on them. And
use that tonight, yeah.
In back home, we can, you know, hey, motherfucker.
It's a northern hat.
That sounds like rolling in PA.
Yeah.
You're not getting any barbecue around there.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we get this buddy, Michael O'Connor, who's actually from down there, and a great, great singer and writer, guitar player. And what you notice, too, is that people now, you'll see guys in the wintertime with summer hats, and in the summertime with the, you know, with you're supposed to wear your, like, I will never wear a cowboy hat, thank God.
Okay.
You know, because it won't work.
Right.
But you'll see guys in the wintertime with the felt, you're supposed to wear that, or in the summertime, you know, in the wintertime, you know, straw.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then what's the deal with a hat cut off on the top of the head, man? Have you seen that?
No.
Please.
No.
I hope it hasn't made
a hat cut off on the top, like a visor?
Well, it's like a cowboy hat with the top cut off of it.
So you can see down into the head?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
not very bright, because we're trying to keep
the whole,
you know,
point
melanoma,
of a hat.
Melanoma from the skull. From,
right.
You know, happens a lot on the top of the head because of the sun. Not
I think
the brightest.
It just means you're ready to party.
Oh, does it?
That's what it means.
Well, there's a certain songwriter we know of, and I don't know if we'll have to tell you about him later, maybe. Gary Floater.
Gary Floater.
He's a country music on Success, and he has a lyric in one of his songs. And it with a hat cut off of the top of my head.
Be glad to lay one of him.
Yeah,
on
well,
the,
maybe
on
you can lay
podcast.
Some Gary.
Yeah, sure. All right. So anyway, so you guys are here. You guys are torn. You're doing a private event tonight because somebody gave you some change for your Kickstarter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's your new which record was this?
this new record is called Let It Choose You. And I guess this is number 8 for me. Not that I hadn't really been counting, you know.
You almost have fingers.
You had to count them the other day.
Yeah, Let It Choose You. Just try to do I think it's actually called Pledge Music. You've probably seen that one. Mm-hmm. It's like Kickstarter, but I think it's like more geared toward musicians.
Okay.
Try to set a modest goal for myself. And,
right.
And some of these folks out, you know, that got out here and some other folks, bought some house concerts. And, you know, Chris and I are driving up here and trying to figure out where we can, you know, there's lots of holes in our schedule, you know, before we leave. And it all looks fine when we're sitting in our house. You know? And then Chris is like, who books this shit?
That's what I say.
I thought you were going to do it.
That's what I say, who books this shit?
That's funny.
I thought you were going to do it, But yeah, you know, it's just thank you, Adam Dawson, for we've been calling him Coach.
Yeah,
he's a coach,
and for helping us fill in the holes, and he's got us going.
So. Yeah, he hooked us up with you.
Adam Dawson is the reason that you're here. Adam is an old friend of mine and a fan. I met him in Ohio a million years ago, and he has stayed in touch and been a great supporter and a great friend. And then he just got into the business. He was just a straight up fan, and now he's just getting into the business, and I'm. Honestly, I'm a little concerned for him because I vicariously love his love of music, you know, and now he's doing it as a business. And as you know, sometimes that takes some of the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm. We actually feel the same way for him.
We do. And we kind of coach him back by saying now, you know, don't, you know, balance is the key and not to overdo things to the point because he has so much, you know, he's just so passionate about
yes.
it. And, you know. He's been a great help and we'll keep him in line. You can know that we're gonna help him.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Keep that love in the music. All of a sudden, he just turns on folk or anti folk or whatever, you know. And he's just straight pop after because he can't handle it. He like has a nervous breakdown and he just.
I need a 17-year-old with big jugs.
Exactly.
I mean, don't we all? I guess.
Well,
but.
You know.
Yeah, but he's fantastic. His podcast is Broken Jukebox, mm-hmm. And his podcast is great. As well as his blog, his website, Broken Jukebox, and I guess it's Broken Jukebox Management. That's his whole deal now. Is that what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And he's recruited. I mean, we've come on board with him, and now this past few weeks, he's got some other of our friends and people that have been reaching out to him, and I know he's got Mike June and Jeff Plankenhorn, Michael O'Connor.
Oh, great!
So he's really, guys. You know,
I trust his taste so much. I told him. I basically gave him carte blanche. I said, whenever you call, anybody can come by and sit in the spare bedroom and talk into this microphone.
Well, that's
so,
cool.
So
cool.
He vetted us.
He said it was good. And then I looked you up. I was like, whoa, this is a score, man. Like, because I am sitting here with Adam Carroll. And Adam Carroll, among Adam Carroll's fans, are some of my idols. Well, just a quick go-down says that Robert Alkeen and Hayes Carl, as well as some others, are fans of you. Didn't the Hayes Carl quote is he wants to blow off, I wish I could just blow off my gigs and watch Adam Carroll play.
That's pretty high praise.
Yes.
Of Hayes, you know.
That's, he's fantastic. He's amazing. Like,
he's great. Yeah.
So, you know, I only found out, only discovered him or whatever, you know, became aware of him up here maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago. But I'm sure that he was kicking around down there for quite a while. And when he became, there's a radio station in town, WXPN, and when they started playing him.
That's Fresh Air. Or the
That is, yes.
Yeah.
No, Fresh Air is Terry Gross. That's WHYY. This is World Cafe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and people, I got a bunch of texts, but have you heard his Carl? Because he reminds me of you. And I was like, well, that's very kind of you to say, but Hayes is amazing. And so are you, Adam. Why don't you give us something, you can say, play something off the new record, or I don't care what you play.
Yeah, no, I'd be glad to. Can I borrow your pick?
Of course you may.
I promise to give it.
It's kind of wimpy. If you want a thicker one, I have.
Okay. Actually, no, this will work. Okay. This is a song that Chris and I sang together on my record.
Oh, nice.
It's called Bernadine, actually. Well, I hit my stride in Louisiana. It was hard to tell the daytime from the night. I placed my bets. I saw the faces of the winners and the losers in the light. I dragged my nets off the Widowmaker. Up 3 weeks' pay, got a motel key. New Orleans sure found a winner. Off a low rent, rundown Gulf Coast loser like me. Am I the worst you've seen, Bernadine? Cast a little of your loving down my way. Keep these dice from turning cold. Make my hard time shine like gold. Shed a little mercy, Bernadine. Night gave in along the Poncha train. Ran with little Joe. Lost all my money. I got whiskey and salt water running in my veins. St. Bernardine, please don't forsake me. You gonna help me? Help me find my way. If these hard times, if these hard times don't overtake me, I'm gonna cast my nets into Galveston Bay. Am I the worst you've seen? Hey, Bernadine, cast a little of your loving down my way.
Very nice. Very nice. And that's on the new record?
Yep.
Let It Choose You. What's that from? How's that, how'd that come about?
You know, let's see. I just, a buddy of mine and I were sitting around talking about guitar playing and such. And he was just talking about the kind of philosophy where you kind of make yourself, you know, make yourself ready for a song. And it sort of meets you in the middle.
There you go.
And kind of like, I've struggled with that pretty much ever since I started, you know, thinking about songwriting, you know, like I often say, I was living at my folks' house and that was last week. Mm.
You know? Yeah, I know.
Keep up with that joke and it's going to be next week.
She's a tough critic sometimes. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I can't get one by either of y'all.
Sorry.
But no, you know, it's just the idea that, like, you know, I first start writing songs and some of them just kind of come out and then, you know, are they all going to be like that? And then, like, my idols are, you know, we probably got all the same heroes, you know.
Yeah.
Dylan or Towns or Guy Clark.
Right.
You know, Neil Young. And it seems like, you know, are they going to be as good if you have to hack away at them and, you know, and set them aside and then do normal stuff and then come back to them.
Right. The age old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know, like we were hanging out with, some of Christian's buddies up in Niagara Falls this guy James Gerlow, and he's kind of a spiritual dude and really spiritual guy, and he's sort of like a roadie for this guy Leroy Manuel, who's a Motown, old Motown guy,
okay,
guitar player
from Detroit. Now lives in Canada. LMT connection.
Yeah, and he had like a garage, and it was just all these guitars, and you know, and we were all just hanging out listening to Chris's new record. They hadn't heard it yet, and you know, it was just like made for doing something like that. You know, you could just you knew that you were going to be there if you know till 1 a.m. kind of thing.
Right.
And he had so many guitars, and it's like every guitar is like holy Jesus. I mean, you know, my boyhood was
his face. He smiled from ear to ear, like you know, I could see that every time he put a new guitar on Adam's lap. He's like, I'm like, we're never getting out of here.
Now, are you a gear whore? You got a lot. You got a room full of them.
I'm not a gear whore. Although I'm kind of
half a whore.
I'm half a whore. I'm kind of an absentee. I'm kind of a. I cuddle with many of them. It's names that I collect them and then say I'm going to play them, and then you know, and then they just sit there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we've got a room in our house that where we've hung guitars, you know. So I'm trying to call it the music room.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense, you know. I'm trying to achieve this goal of getting that kind of place at our house, you know, where you can, you know, where you can. You know that if you sit there, maybe you'll be ready for it.
Right. You know? Okay. And, yeah. Open yourself up, and I think it's also important to flex the muscle. I used to say you got to write the 10 shitty ones to get the good one. That's the gift. Mm-hmm. So you drive into the car and you pull it over. 20 minutes later, there's the song, and I like to think that those 10 shitty ones that I struggled with were pushing up the hill.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. Absolutely. So. You know, like there's a, I don't know if you heard the story. There's a story about there's this guy from Texas, I guess Butch Hancock. He's a big hero of mine. He's the Flatliners.
I know the name. I'm not familiar with the work.
Really, really great. And he was judging some kind of songwriter contest with Robert Earl Keane and somebody else. And it was like the scale was like a 1 to 10 mm-hmm. scale, you know. And so you know, all these people were playing, and then Robert had his scorecard, and he looked over at Butch's, and you know. It was like he looked at it, and it was one guy, and one person was like this, and it was like a 5, and then somebody else was a 20, and then somebody else was like 1,000, you know. And then he was like, "What is that? What are you doing?" And it's like, "Well, this is how many songs this person has to write before they write a good song."
That's funny. How many songs do you think you've written?
That's a tough call, man. You know, I think maybe 50. You know, I don't know. I haven't kept all the ones, and I don't really remember all the ones that I've written. Mm-hmm. I think some of them kind of morphed into, you know, a bunch of like halfway decent ones, or you know, they kind of morphed into a halfway good one. But a lot of not so good.
You
ones
mean you cannibalized it for other ones?
I did.
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's your work, right? Yeah,
sure.
You're not going to sue yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too much paperwork.
I wouldn't get much money out of it. So.
Yeah. But I can make a good character witness. This son of a bitch is a thief.
That's right.
I know all his flaws.
That's right. That's right. Let me tell you. Yeah.
Now, you grew up in Tyler, right?
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
I'm trying to remember Tyler. The only thing I know about Tyler is Earl Campbell, right?
Earl Campbell, and it's the City of Roses, one of them, and really famous for the roses.
Okay.
And Earl. It's Texas is kind of, we were listening to a buddy of ours, John D. Graham, and he was mentioning Texas is kind of half southern and half western.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
You know,
right.
And so Tyler is kind of on the southern part.
Right.
You know, so that's the kind of the culture there.
Right.
And so it's pretty, you know, it's got a lot of hardwood trees and, you know, a lot of, whereas when you go down to Austin, you know, it's more like just kind of mesquite, scrub.
Right.
You know, oak trees that don't change colors, and so you don't have the fall.
And then you get into the wasteland of West Texas.
Then you get into the desert.
And then the weird El Paso is part of it's not really Mexico, it's not really America.
That's true.
That's how I feel about El Paso. Yeah.
That makes sense. It's on the way to a long way from everywhere.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I played a show in El Paso where there was a guy from New Jersey. For some reason, he had ended up in El Paso. And he was so happy to see me. And he just kept naming everything in New Jersey, hoping that something would resonate with us. And finally, like, we knew, like, one guy, like Tony Luke's cheesesteak. He's like, Tony Luke! And he was yelling from the crowd, cheesesteaks! Well, at least somebody's listening, man.
Yeah, that's it. Geeks are happy to see you. Anyway.
Y'all were supposed to be together. Yeah, you gotta save that guy's life.
Oh, yeah.
Is he in a song yet? Have you written him into a song?
No, I'm trying to forget him. Looking at his three-tooth face.
Oh, Lord. I've been trying to forget him now.
I was like, you know, New Jersey has awesome dentists. You should maybe.
Yeah.
It was a long
Poor
tour.
Guy. Bless his heart. That's what they'd say to him in Texas.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Bless your heart.
I've heard about the bless your heart. You know, it's not, I thought it was sweet at first. It's not so sweet if someone says it to you, just so.
Right.
It's a thorny compliment.
It is.
So how did this happen? You guys are married with an entire country in between you. How did you guys meet?
I know. This happened in the end of 2012 in the summer months.
Oh, this
and,
is fresh.
It is. Nice. Yep. It's been a romance, a quick one too. But he came to play Cicada Fest in Niagara Falls, St. Catharines in my hometown.
Okay.
And Roger Maron, who played pedal steel for Fred Eagle Smith and is a great songwriter of his own.
Oh, yeah.
His own right.
Fred Eagle Smith, the Canadian Cowboys. Yeah.
And so, you know, Roger has a festival there every year, or, you know, it hasn't been this past year, but Adam's come to play several times. And this happened to be a time where I was asked to come and, you know, fill in, do the tweener sets and whatever. And I had, you know, a few other gigs that weekend, so I decided I just set up a tent and kind of set up a rig down there, and then I went and played some shows. I had a standing gig at a bistro that I used to play at, and I missed Adam's set, but the next day a friend of mine had seen him and said, you've got to, you know, I love John Prine, and, you know, you're going to love Adam. And so he played a couple tunes, and actually I was just playing before him, and I asked him to jam. He was on the main stage, I was sort of sitting on the side stage. And I asked him to jam along to this old Green Door, you know, the song Green Door, anyway. So
wait, does that mean a girl's into you if she asks you to do that?
Yeah.
In Canada.
In Canada.
Oh, okay, only in Canada.
I don't know. We can't, you know what, you just don't know. We can't write that off just Canada.
Okay.
I mean, if it happens, go with it.
Because I may have missed dozens of opportunities. Yeah, thinking.
Well, you know.
She likes my harmonica.
I told myself.
Are you okay? Only, maybe not so much if you're a bass player, I think.
Good.
So,
that's funny.
So, I got that from Dawson, so he handed that to me the other day. So, you know, I offered Adam some grapes after my set. I first asked him to play along with me, and he goes, I don't know that song, girl. And so I went and finished my songs, and he was trying to get me to play longer, and it was really cute, and then, aww, you know, I offered him some grapes, and you know what? I mean, you've listened to his music, and I heard his music, and I immediately, I mean, there was that connection, of course.
Right.
But then we got talking and had a lot in common, and we exchanged I had a little 6-song EP, and I gave it to him, and he gave me his record, and, you know, I didn't know. I thought he was just my friend, you know, and then he started emailing me and messaging me, and then we'd had the Skype machine. We called, the computer turned into only Skype. It was a Skype machine.
Nice.
And, you know, he came to Canada for a little bit, and I, next thing you know, he's asking me to come to Texas. And,
oh, nice.
And now we're, you know, we got hitched
in Oklahoma.
We got married twice. That we're double middle. Married.
Okay.
Double married. Yeah.
Nice.
Get the marriage license in Texas.
Can you have an American-Canadian marriage in Oklahoma? I'm not sure that they're cool with that. It's a very square state.
And also, my father-in-law, Adam's dad's an attorney.
Oh, okay.
And I said, you've had so much trouble with the immigration and all the other bullshit. He said, get your marriage license in Texas. Don't confuse those people any further by getting it in Oklahoma. So we had our spiritual ceremony there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. We just invited some friends. Basically, it was, you know, we got married and we had all our great songwriter friends come into the wedding. I put them all to work.
Oh, yeah.
And it was our friend's place, a Bottle Cap Barn in Oklahoma. And they have a beautiful venue in the back. So we had our ceremony there. And then everyone changed clothes and we had a show.
Oh, wow.
Really cool.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. I'm half Dutch and half Irish. So I made sure, you know, they put them to work.
Nice. that sounds fantastic.
Took a gift and put them to work.
Nice.
Yeah. We had a great time. You know what? Everyone said it has been the best wedding they ever came to. The people that were there, it was only about 30 people. It was great.
Okay, cool, very cool. Why don't you hit us up with a song, then, Chris?
I'd love to.
Now, wait, so, but you're going by Chris Carroll now.
Chris Carroll.
What were you before?
It was Chris Goosen.
Okay.
My given name is Christian.
Okay.
You know, that's a long story, but...
isn't that a dude's name?
It's a dude's name. it's a dude's name.
Right.
You know, but it was what's on my birth certificate. And, you know, my dad said the government screwed up my paperwork and nobody ever changed nobody ever changed it.
That's his story?
It's his story.
I was hoping she'd turn into a boy.
I know. And he raised me kind of like a boy, like, you know, stuff like, that's good enough for the girls we go with, right, Chris? You know, so.
So you were what, like an Argonauts fan?
I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs fan.
Oh, Leafs, of course.
Zero football for this kid. Okay. The football, it stops, it starts. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. You know, I don't know. I don't
that's your Canadian, vaguely European heritage. You don't understand American football.
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm all about the hockey. My grandparents came over from Holland in the, you know, just after the Second World War. So my oma latched onto the Toronto Maple Leafs like in the early 60s. And she, my grandmother, she knew every player.
Wow.
And so, like, you would be excommunicated from the family if you weren't a Leaf fan. And the thing is with the Leaf fans, it's a heartbreak story all the time.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's a shame.
Yes.
But you love them.
The Leafs ethos is a lot like the Philadelphia sports ethos. It has, right. I'd certainly see parallels.
A lot of suicide involved, probably. Suicide
Well,
divorce.
This is America, it's more murder-suicide.
Yeah. Murder-suicide.
If I'm going out, I'm taking someone with me.
That's right. If you're going to the penitentiary, you might as well make it.
Charles Whitman style.
Okay, well, yeah, then that's not suicide, just the murder part.
The murder is answered.
Yeah.
Also murder, and then we're like, follow through.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't let us fool you. We do the same shit in Canada. You know what? We just maybe say sorry.
Oh gosh, I forget his name. I should remember his name. Peter something or other, a Canadian dude, told me the funniest joke I ever heard when he was in town. He said, "How do you get 100 Canadians to jump into ice cold water?" You say, "Would you please jump into the ice cold water?"
Yeah, I don't know. I did jump into ice cold water. Hole in the ice, but I was inebriated, and it was just a thing. You had to do it, or
My
brothers and uncles would have just said I was a wuss. So.
Okay, you can't have that.
No. So I did it.
Yeah. Play me a song.
Okay, let's see if I can remember. It whips it wide, kisses my face, and when it's over, you take its place. Sound like a thunder, sound like a lamb, and I'm just happy to be who I am. Northern wind, how you blow. I don't know how I feel about you. Come and go, sometimes sweet, sometimes mean. I work real hard to keep the peace, to keep it quiet inside me. Life's been my teacher, lessons I've learned, lessons forgotten, lessons I've earned. Northern wind, how you blow. I don't know how I feel about you. You come and go, sometimes sweet, sometimes mean.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's lovely.
Thank you.
That's
so
gonna be on the new record.
That's on the new record.
Nice. And when's that dropping, as they say?
Well, that's what I don't understand the dropping. I asked whoever understands the dropping, really.
Rappers should, mostly.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
So, yeah. So, I've been called Feminem at one point or another. I used to
have
a substance abuse problem at some point.
A particular substance or just all of them?
Oh, yeah, anything that
Whatever.
Was handy. Yeah,
good.
Pretty much.
Right. And so, are you like 12 steps straight and narrow now?
I am sober, yeah. It'll be 10 years in December. Yeah, free of cocaine.
When did you kick? When you were 11? You're a little baby.
I'm 38 now.
You look amazing.
Thank you.
Cold winters, I suppose.
I don't know.
Texas sun's going to age you. It's all going to happen in a day.
It's the chicken fried, really. It's the cream gravy.
The pea meal bacon.
It's pumping me up. Yeah, the pea meal bacon. We had some in Canada.
For the first time.
So how does it compare to the real stuff?
You know, pea meal is the real stuff.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the controversy.
I didn't know that.
My friends here in America. They call it Canadian bacon.
Right.
Don't be duped. Don't succumb to the advertising, to the bologna, because it's basically fried bologna that's right. served in, if you see
on
Canadian
my
bacon.
Eggs Benedict.
Yeah. It's okay. just like, you know, you see it.
Yeah,
like
it looks like a little piece of ham.
It's a little piece of ham. And pea meal bacon, if you want to, you know, if you feel like inclined to look it up, you can see that it's different. It has like a cornmeal you know, outer coating.
Okay.
And it's ham, but it's different. It's a salted ham. And it's real Canadian bacon. And so you're getting bullshitted around here.
Okay.
You really are.
Good.
So just,
okay.
you know, you want to steer clear of the Canadian bacon. You want to tell all your friends, my friend Chris says, that's bologna.
Is there
that's
any
really bologna.
Is there any place in America or Texas where you can get the real stuff?
I don't know. You know what? I'll be on a quest now.
Yeah.
Brodsky, I'm going to, Mr. Brodsky.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into that.
A big old beef state like that, somebody's got to be able to come through, man.
Someone's going to hook us up. Somehow.
We might have to get that going ourselves. That might be.
Maybe we can import some Canadian bacon.
Yeah,
you know, we could get into the racket.
Uh-huh.
Kind of deal.
Oh, you'll end up playing ham hock festivals and stuff, and then selling salami from the stage, the side of the stage.
Yeah.
Sign my mailing list and please take home some cured meat.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't even know where we went with that. I have the
I think that's a really important thing for this podcast. I mean, that's really important for me. I mean, if
figure out where the
Well,
deal
my
is.
Friend Athena back home, she's a wonderful, beautiful lady. She's a doctor of philosophy. She's been a major influence in my life. And she's helped me a great deal. There were some darker times, and even in sobriety that I wasn't sleeping, wasn't eating, and wasn't repeating. And she would make sure, you know, at one point I moved in just for a brief period of time while she nursed the little sick and suffering person back to health. And, you know, but she was telling us that they have the audacity, the American chains of restaurants, to sell this Canadian
that's what they say.
False bacon in Canada. Like, they've got chains in Canada,
oh.
and they're passing off this...
Yeah, our American balls. We have no
American
shame.
Balls.
Yeah.
it's
your ninth record, American Balls.
American balls.
Give me my Canadian fucking bacon.
Songs of Treason.
Songs of Treason.
You guys co-write. I'm going to leave the room like
if we leave you alone, you're going to go down and burn the White House.
I'm going to burn the White House. Everyone else has been trying to get in there. I'm going to stay out, but I'm going to hang out with your dog. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, please.
I won't go past the front door, probably.
So, straight up, you ply your trade. You earn your living in bars. Is that rough?
No, it's not. You know what? There have been times, like early days, I didn't, you know, I stopped playing music, and I'm really, truly just really getting my start with Adam. I played in bands all my life, but just, you know, a hobby, playing, singing, you know, studio stuff. Someone had some stuff they wanted someone to sing on. So I hadn't really taken it. I had a sales job. I had a day job.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, I didn't, when I first cleaned up and sobered up, I stayed out of those joints, you know.
Right.
I had to kind of make a whole 180 and change the way I was living. And then, you know, after a few years, I was able to kind of come back in. And so, you know what, I just take care of it, you know, and I know that I just can't have it. I mean, it isn't pretty, you know. When I have a drink, I'm allergic. I say I bust out in handcuffs.
My friend says that.
Your friend drinks like I do.
Not anymore, he doesn't.
No,
yeah.
See, not anymore, he doesn't. Exactly.
Yeah. He says, he's the one that says, I have some memory lapse. There's things I don't remember, like 1983.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You know, how did I wind up here?
I'm so proud of him because he goes to festivals and everything with us.
Yeah.
He loves the festival scene. You know, and at festivals, it's everywhere. You know, everybody's smoking and doing everything, and he loves it. He can be right next to it, and he loves the friends and everything. But and somehow he usually usually gets up and runs a meeting. Like, usually there's a meeting on the main stage at 7 in the morning. Yeah,
and we do that. And oh, I've just outed you, too, by the way. Hey. And that's how we met. We got talking
about
that.
You're gonna lose your Texas songwriter cred.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's lots of Texas songwriters that are living the way we're living now. You know? And that's what's really great is that it is a lifestyle change, and I'm way more fun. Like the girl you're talking to today, absolutely couldn't have talked to you. First of all, I would have had 6 beers. You would have asked for me to leave your home. Probably remove me and went, why did you bring that weirdo here?
Part of me kind of wants that, like, okay. just passing through.
I can behave like that. Last half an hour I'm here, I'll just behave that way. But, you know, and so the nice part about it is that I today now can have a conversation without any kind of altering.
Oh, great.
And, you know, and that's what truly, if I do make those changes and work those steps, like you say, you know, I get to be who I really am supposed to be. So. And that's a gift. And I'm crazier now than I ever was. So
nice.
We don't know what the afternoon holds. We have no idea what's going on minute to minute here.
Well, let me ask you both of this. Your songwriters, was there ever a thought, man, if I take away my liquid inspiration, was that a concern?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think
I've yapped all I can yap.
Well, the only thing I know is that I think there were other writers, you know, that are my heroes, you know, who actually shared about that very same problem.
Mm-hmm.
And thought that very same thing. So I think what's helped me is to know that I'm not the only one, you know,
but
I don't, that, you know, that that's felt that way.
Yeah.
You know? And that to see people who, you know, who are, you know, doing some of their best work, you know, sober.
Okay.
You know, and I think, yeah, I think there is that fear, you know, and you know what one guy told me what I've heard a lot from, you know, not just from, you know, people, alcoholics, whatever, but, you know, just people in general is that there's that fear a lot, you know, what's going to happen if I don't, you know, if I take that away, you know, am I going to, so it's kind of like, you know, because we have like Hemingway and, you know, Towns Van Zandt.
Towns, yeah.
Examples, you know.
And Hank.
And Hank, you know, of course. And, you know, and it's kind of like one guy said that, you know, it's kind of like, well, it's almost like they did those things in spite of that.
I think how good they could have been.
Right. Which is, yeah,
well, crazy. If you think about it, you know, you're going to get paid. You ask what's going to happen if I stop drinking. Well, I'm going to get paid. I'm going to get my money. The end of the night before, it was like, I owe them money.
Right? That's true.
And so there's that. And I wasn't, you know, high functioning, you know, I could get my job done. But I mean, there was no extracurricular writing or anything going on. I mean, it was like taping my life together piece by piece every single day trying to hang on.
Right.
So, and I mean, like I said, we're crazier now than we ever were. So the depression and all the other stuff is still there.
Well, hope you guys
know,
so
you can dig in. So I threaten Adam sometimes, like, we're going to have a real, you know, I'm going to bust it up with you for a couple weeks. Just, you know, just a shit. Because he's too happy. You know what I mean?
I know the feeling.
He's too happy. So I got to get, you know, we got to
cruising around.
Them.
You're living the dream, man. You are touring with the woman you love. That's, yeah. You don't have to worry about that every night. Be like, which one? Maybe. It's done.
Yeah. It's done, dude.
Yeah.
I'm so glad, dude. Because
and
I was just so pitiful at that. Trying that other
way. I know, right? Yeah. It wasn't.
As the troubadour songwriter, you know, in the movies, it seems to be smooth and easy, but actually out on the road.
Oh my god!
If you're not in a rock band, they don't give a fuck.
I think we should encourage domestication for ourselves. You know, because it's just for guys like us. It sucks.
It does. Yeah. Oh, really? You left with that opener? The guy with the cool hair? Really? His songs were such bullshit.
Yeah, that's it. And then you're stuck at the truck stop picking up the girl that's waiting for a ride, you know? Right?
That's not... Okay. No, she doesn't have too many scabs.
Oh, God. This is taking a turn. See? Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Marriage counseling.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a full service podcast.
So you mentioned your lady.
Yes, I am married. I think I heard her come in.
I'm going
to Yeah, unless the dog, unless Quickquake learned how to open a door, in which case we're both proud and horrified.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
Good boy.
No more podcast. Hello, $1 million.
That's right.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. So I held out for as long as I could. And then, like, I did the thing with I would end up dating. I'd end up dating like the 26-year-old who thought that it was a good idea to go home with the folk singer in his late 30s, early 40s, and hard to believe that there wasn't enough to base a real relationship on all those things. And so I started trying to date adults, and then I found one and married her. So,
oh, good. Yeah, that's so, good. You smartened up. Yeah, that's it. That's good.
Yeah. The truth is, I feel like I'm betraying my listeners. We're actually breaking up this week. Like we are. I'm getting divorced or separated. But it is amicable. Don't you don't have to drop your faces. I mean, like it's been a long time. It's a, you know. So
are you pulling my leg?
No, I'm totally serious. I wouldn't. that'd be a sort of a dick move to just throw that out. Yeah. But oh, wow. No. But it's you know, it's a little sad. But it's also the end of a chapter, and we're both looking. We are really great business.
Sounds
partners.
Like you're great.
We're great partners. You know, we get the dog walked. We get the trash taken out. We're not awesome spouses. So we're ending a chapter. It's a little sad. But I all of a sudden I found myself lying here 30 seconds ago. I was like, well, I can't tell a lie to everybody.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have asked that. That's stupid. You would just clip
I could also edit
it
out, but just I won't. Edit, I mean, no, this, that, is, yeah. No this is, no, that's I mean, like, if we're going to...
It's real life, yeah.
If we're going to keep the part on when we have the actual sex
well,
after the podcast,
like
I wouldn't lie about this part.
You
so.
May end up with a new record coming out soon in the next couple of years.
Perhaps. I'm like, I don't know whether the sad has really hit me yet. I mean, like, she's, you know, she has to find, we have to find her a place and move out.
Yeah.
And, you know, but anyway, this
but
podcast
listen,
isn't about me.
Well, it is, because you're part of it. So, yeah, you're going to have some songs coming
Yeah, so way. So that'll be nice. So look forward to, hopefully my next record won't be called You Fucking Whore. So that's
yeah.
But
unless she did it for a living. I mean, it's not accurate.
Well, then at least I should get a cut, right?
You should.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
that's right.
So.
That's right.
Yeah, no, but things are... we're friends, so
that's
good. So, but I learned so much about love, being in love with her and being married to her. It's been a fantastic experience. So, but enough about this.
So,
I want to talk about hooking up with not being in a serious being married to a songwriter. Like, you can be married to a songwriter, a musician, like someone that plays bass or something, but doesn't write songs, or a civilian. And there are pitfalls about you know, you're both. Do you think it drives each of you to write better, or is there jealousy? Like, what's going on there?
Well, I was intimidated by Adam, you know, at first, and because I'm really a novice. Like, I've been writing over the years, but you know, this past couple of years now, this is what I'm doing. So, it's funny because like we're very strong-headed individuals individually. So we you know, we'll get together on something, or I'll put out an idea. And he'll, and you know, and there's me out, my fur goes up and I'm like, what about my, like, and why did I ask the question anyway, right? Like, if I don't want his input. And so, you know, at first I wasn't bringing anything to him. But now I found that it's a real asset for me to kind of just put something out to him and say, cause he has this brilliant way of just taking something so, and just flipping it or changing like one word and it changes the meaning or it gives it more depth, you know, than maybe what I was coming to him with. So, you know, like I mentioned, you know, I know Adam really works well with his depression, you know, sitting around the house in his underwear, you know, whatever. He needs to be sad sometimes, you know. So
right.
He's been pretty happy, I think.
That's the title of my new record. I need to be sad.
Really, not just sitting around in my underwear?
Yeah, well,
sitting around in my underwear.
Because that album cover writes itself.
First with somebody other than me.
Yeah. I'm just remembering a time where there was a week or two there when we, you know, we were trying to get in a rhythm of being together, you know, both of us being an alcoholic, also both of us having our character issues and stuff. And I just remember that week there where I don't know what was going on, and it was falling apart. And you, I don't know, you were in your underwear a lot that week. And next thing you know, there was a song. Like, next thing you know, there was a song. So now when I want him to, like, write, I just put out a pair of underwear on the bed and just be like, there's your clothes for the day. Get upstairs to the music room. I don't even know.
Music room
I'm going to ask you to edit that part.
Music room has become, it could be a Red Roof Inn, maybe.
There you go.
Without the bed bug.
That has nothing to do with anything, but except for that needing to be, you know, have the time alone. I'm making light, but I really feel I, without sounding like some kind of pretentious wife of a songwriter, I'm going to just say it. Adam writes brilliant music, and I think I think that, you know, that needs that is a focal point of my support as a wife, to make sure that he gets the time and has, because we're together a lot, and that, you know, when you're getting into domestic life and watching Netflix and getting on the day to day, you can tend to get away from what's really important. So I'm not kidding when I say I might leave him for a couple of weeks, you know, and maybe just, or send him somewhere to a cabin or whatever. You know, those are the kind of things, you know, that you might want to do.
She's laying it out for me.
That's fucking remarkable. That's amazing, dude. To have someone who not only likes your work but nurtures it and helps you create it, even if it's a kick in the nuts, like that is. Congratulations, dude. That is a score. That is and I guess the world will be better because hopefully you'll Queequeg's alive. You'll be producing some great art because of it. I mean, like, the world will be better off because of it.
Well, I know I am. You know, my last record, actually, she helped me finish it, you know.
Oh, wow.
I was like, you know, I'd gotten to that point where, you know, all that self-pity about, you know, why should I make another record, you know, nothing's going
to
get her.
You and I can record a podcast that nobody wants to hear.
And she was like, man, get the fuck upstairs and finish your album.
Oh, serious! Congratulations! You got a Leafs fan.
I've become a Leafs fan too. I'm like, you know,
he has actually.
Not the Dallas Stars. Would that be the nearest team you guys? God. Or?
We did go to see the Stars, and they smashed us. What a tragedy! Because we were on a 6-game winning streak, and I knew it. I knew the boys were going to be tired, and we went. And it was our anniversary last year. We got the Ritz Carlton. We got, you know,
ooh, la di da,
la di da, because it was our anniversary. Yeah. We weren't going to go on a vacation. We're just going away for the night. And so we sprung for that, and I got in the car in San Marcos, Texas, and I went, God damn, I'm going to go and see my Leafs lose tonight. And I just knew it. I knew it, because you got to know.
Okay.
You can sense these things. Right. You know, 6 games winning, I'm going to come to the game. It's all about me, right?
Yeah.
So I'm the big Leafs fan's going to come to Dallas, and they score one, and then boom, it was like 7-1. Dallas to the Leafs. So they were tired, but you know what? It's great to see them. And Adam was really took it hard. That you could have written a song that week too.
I have no idea why I remember this, but the Philadelphia Flyers in 1980 had a 35-game unbeaten streak. They had a lot of ties, but a 35-game unbeaten streak, and they lost it the 36th game to the Minnesota North Stars,
okay,
who are now the Dallas Stars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who cares? Now that I've realized, anyway, I said that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I interrupted you.
Fucking Dallas Stars and bastards.
Yeah.
But you know what? They played. I'll tell you right now. They have a beautiful place to watch hockey there. It's surprising to me in Texas that they can even keep ice.
Yeah.
And they do. And they have great fans. And they came to win. And they played their ass off. And they took advantage of their advantage. And so good for them. And by the way, I'll tell you, half of them are Canadian anyway. So, oh
yeah. And that's that's what.
So it was great to watch all the guys play. Jesus. Yeah. It really sucked, though. The Leafs shit the bed that bad. Yeah. What are you going to do? It's Toronto. That's the thing.
What is your... Well, let's start with... Do you have a least favorite Adam Carroll song?
A least favorite? That's a good question. Is there a least favorite?
You don't even have to answer. You can just say, I do, but...
I don't.
Okay. Well, that's sweet. What is your favorite Adam Carroll song?
My favorite Adam Carroll song is going to have to be Rice Birds.
Would you play Rice Birds for us?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, I will.
And that's saying some, because he's written some for me, but this is the one I love the most.
I will play Rice Birds. I was thinking of you when the rice birds flew, when the false dawn came with the morning dew. You're a thunderstorm raging outside my garage. You're the white shirt peeking through my camouflage. I was thinking of you and I won't forget the tale of the turtle and Bayou Tesh. I cannot dance, but I can hang on. Some sweet memory down in Oberlin. I was thinking of you at the Mardi Gras. Fords and Chevys like I never saw. I wish you were there to dance with me. Hear that Cajun symphony. I was thinking of you at the L.A. bar, where I got so drunk I couldn't drive my car. I was dreaming about you with my 10-ounce beer, dreaming sweet daydreams, wishing you were here. I was thinking of you when you had braids in your hair. It was down in Houston, could have been anywhere. I was dreaming about you and my changing ways. And I still think about you in my traveling days. I was thinking of you where the sunset glows, down the old Mississippi where the Gulf wind blows. I was dreaming about you and the fleur-de-lis. I was wishing you were next to me.
That is excellent.
Oh, thank you.
That has that that has that that prime economy where so much emotion in words, so much emotion in story gets conveyed with the bare minimum syllables, and you're the what's that sounds like a, you're the white peeking through my camouflage shirt, or however that goes. That's a brilliant image. That's I love that.
Thanks, Adam.
That's very cool.
And you know that where that comes from? Do you know with the hunters? You know, peek at the white shirt peek can set off the geese or the set off the so they you want to hide that all that
they
right?
can see it.
So, I got the basic gist, but yeah. I didn't know the actual mechanics of it.
I guess I shouldn't explain.
Not being a killer. Yeah, I mean, I eat meat. I have other people do the killing
that's
for
right.
me.
That's right.
Me too.
Yeah. So I just want it out of my sight. You know, try as I might, most of my clothes are made by slaves in Indonesia. But yeah. I just don't think about it. So
yeah, sure.
So yeah. I've been on this quest to find American-made clothes.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
Very hard.
Actually,
is it?
And yeah. then I found this jean company, Buddy's Jeans in Mississippi. I did all this research on there's a place in Texas I bought jeans. They sort of wore out. And I bought Buddy's Jeans. They come from New Hebron, Mississippi, which should have been the tip-off. And I ordered them because they're made in America. And the jean and every pair comes with a free gift. Well, the free gift, of course, was a New Testament in the back pocket, which really pisses this Jewish kid off.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I just thought that was very presumptuous of them. But then I was like, I'm sending these. Well, maybe I'll just try them. Ooh, they fit wonderfully. So,
oh yeah.
So I'm not buying another pair, but I am wearing this pair and criticizing them publicly from the stage.
Wow, I can't believe they put that. But I guess they can.
New Hebron, yeah. Mississippi. It's you know, it's America, but barely.
Yeah, yeah.
So
barely America.
That could be the logo on their jeans.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's America, God. but barely.
Mm. Well, that's cool, man. You know.
Yeah, so it is what it is. So let us do this. Let's Chris, why don't you play us? First of all, Let It Choose You is your new record, and that is available. Is there a label on that, or just you?
Just me.
Excellent. So they can get it at
AdamCarroll.com.
AdamCarroll.com. Get the record there, and ChrisCarrollSongs.com.
That's right.
ChrisCarrollSongs.com, and your new record is impending. We don't know quite when it's going to.
And you can
drop.
Actually get it off the website right now.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant. Oh, that's how we got started. I was wondering what was our tangent that we went on there.
Then we started
about
talking
dropping.
About the Leafs and divorce and whatever. So.
And substance abuse.
And sub, yeah.
It's always the good, the good stuff.
Murder.
Really, suicide.
Yeah, all
murder,
the songwriter
good
stuff.
We just touched all the stuff. Good. I guess I'm coming into this songwriter thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm in. So Yeah, it's available on the website, and I think somehow even on iTunes. So that's what I mean by great release date. I don't, you know, it's sort of becoming available.
Okay, but so are you going to have hard copies?
I have them in the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
As long as we haven't been robbed on the front of your place here.
My neighborhood's pretty, it's all right.
That's good, right on. They're in the car, and I have them, yeah, to mail out. And
oh, okay, so the record website is released.
That's what I mean. Oh, okay. That's what I'm trying to ask these guys. What do you mean release date? Like, it's already...
Have you had a release party?
No, I'm having it when we get back to San Marcos.
November.
Yeah, November.
Okay, 17. Oh, great. So November it will be... So this is the pre-release. The record is out. Don't hesitate. Buy it now.
Buy it.
So when you drive all the way down to San Marcos... for the release party, you can be that guy up front who knows all the songs.
That's right.
That guy's creepy.
I know.
I love him.
I sometimes get that guy without even having the CD out. My whole life.
Right? Yeah. No. But,
I love that guy.
I and then what's good is when you haven't played for a while, that guy can help you out. I'm like, how's this go? And he tells you.
That's it.
I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't got to that.
My guy's name is Toby. I know Toby's listening. Toby, thank you.
Toby, we love you. Toby, come and see me in Cheatham Street Warehouse on November 17th.
Toby, you go down there. I guarantee you a good time.
Come on.
Not too good a time.
Yeah, that's right. So that's it. You can get it on the website.
Okay, so you guys are you're playing this private show, and then you guys got some stuff up in New Hampshire. You're doing?
We're headed to Concord, New Hampshire.
Okay,
I'm not sure how you say that. Concord. To play I believe it is sort of a in the college there.
Yeah,
play a folk type thing.
Is that where Keene State is? Is that the school?
Is that right? I think so. Yeah,
New Hampshire. Yeah, I think maybe.
And then we're headed up after Concord to somewhere north of that to play a private show, and then we're going to Long Island to play a semi-private, also a public show.
Okay.
And then we're headed to Parkersburg, West Virginia, and then back through Ohio.
By the time this airs, all those shows will have been passed. So how did they go?
They went great.
They were good. Great. Okay. Man, it was really
Toby
broke
was
through.
There. Toby came to every one of them.
Toby sold our CD.
That's it.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he said that, you know.
Toby put in my smoke detectors a couple weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
Oh, good. So he's a good man.
They're hardwired now. I don't have to change batteries anymore.
He cares about your safety.
Yes, he does.
Thank you.
I like this man.
If he did it well. Toby. I haven't checked. They haven't gone off.
Maybe he put cameras in them so he can pay attention.
That is super creepy.
That's how my mind works.
Oh, that's
I'm aware of.
No, but you're also a female, so you have a different mindset.
Yeah, I've had some creepy, you know,
it comes with the job.
Like, yeah. You know, I had this cable guy one time that I lived in this bachelor. I called it the bachelorette apartment.
All right.
And he came in and he was coming in to fix my cable.
Uh-huh.
And then he saw my bed and he looked at my bed and then he looked at me and then he looked at my bed again. And I was like, the fucking TV's over there, bud.
Oh.
Like, no bed. This is just like, I didn't put the bed here specific for you to be.
It's where I sleep.
You know, I'm poor as shit. You know what I mean? It's cute in here, but I'm poor.
Let me ask you a question though.
What?
What if Marky Mark comes in shirtless, gives you the same spiel?
I'm here for
today. I'm married.
No, but
married.
Back then. Okay, you would have banged Marky Mark.
I might have banged him.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not.
That guy.
If I was sober then, though, I might have made him take me out for dinner a couple times. I was learning how to date.
So oh, right. Okay.
I don't think I would have jumped the sack with him right then. I wasn't.
Even joking. Marky Mark.
I would have made him take me out.
He's got a funky bunch.
I know, but he can have a funky bunch next Friday. He can buy me surf and turf first.
Surf and turf.
I had a lot of ladies in my life helping me learn how to date.
What if he says he's going to cook for you, but he makes you that fake Canadian bacon?
Oh, that's it. I kick him right in
Not
the
even
head.
A handy?
I'll punch him right out.
And nothing.
No handy. No handy. No reach around.
Let that be a breakfast lesson to you, sir.
I'm taking notes, please. Marky Mark.
How did this even happen? Mark the cable guy.
You know what? This is no reflection on Toby, by the way.
No.
Nothing at all on Toby. That's it. No, please, Toby.
Chris, why don't you take us out?
Okay. All right.
So Adam Carroll, it has been.
Do you want to do one together? Do you want to
whatever
do
you guys want.
Spoken for, or do you want to do Hi-Fi Love would be fun.
What about Trouble in Time? We'll do a Trouble in Time.
Okay, that sounds good.
This has been Rhymes Against Humanity. I really thank you guys for listening. Adam Carroll, Chris Carroll came to my house in my podcast studio and recorded a thing. We had ourselves a great time. Please buy their CDs, check out their stuff, find them, talk if you want to book them for a show. Talk to Adam Dawson at BrokenJukebox.com, and they will come to town. And we didn't even get to talk about all your fancy schmancy. I wanted to talk about you and Robert Earl Keane hanging out in the back of buses and stuff. But next time, you'll be on again.
All right.
Excellent. Bring it up.
We can talk about that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
No, we don't need to talk
I just about wanted that. To say, actually, that Robert Earl Keen's bass player, Bill Whitbeck, is who made the record with me on,
okay.
on Trouble in Time. And he we heavy on the bass. It's really oh. great. And I love that. And we set him loose with it. And his son, David Beck, produced it. So, you know, it's been
oh, wow.
it's a really, really neat project. And
Lloyd Maines is your producer, correct?
Yes. He has done a lot of my records.
Mm-hmm. I met Lloyd once backstage. He was with Terry Hendrix playing a thing. And we were both, you know, I was on the small stage. They're on the big stage. And he was like a fucking sweetheart. I said hi. I just want to say, you know, hi. I'm a big fan. Love your work. And then he asked me like five questions that didn't need to be asked. He should have, you know, thank you would have been perfect. And he asked what I just like genial as fuck. It was left a great impression on me.
Yeah.
So he's a good one.
Yeah.
He really is. He's when I was in the studio recording with Adam on Spoken For, that one I was suggesting we play, but we should play that song. We could play mine if you want. But he said, would you sing a little bit less like Adam's Canadian wife and more like his sister from Tyler, Texas?
That's funny.
Because the O's were coming out actually in Spoken For. A lot of O's in that song. And so that was shining through. But
you probably should have never written that song, I'm About to Be Sorry.
That's right. No, that might be the song I should write. You might just help me with that. But you know what? He really helped me, Lloyd. You know, having that experience was, he turned me into an instrument and I learned how to really harmonize and really try and blend and that kind of thing. So he
awesome.
He's a great producer.
Let the producer choose you or whatever.
That's it. Yeah.
So we're back briefly. We thought we were gone. We're actually back because there's been some. They're getting divorced. Yeah. It all started over a lick. And a lick and a clam, like it always is.
A lick and a clam. Of course.
So there is some dispute as to whether the version of the song that we just did, whether she got the line wrong or right, or you guys want to do it. What are you going to do? Do what you're going to do. Take
do
us
it,
out.
Do it.
Can we do it one more time?
Yeah.
You want to do the song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You do?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hit it then.
All right.
Let's speed it up.
just saying all kinds of things never thought that I'd say. But you can't take away what you never gave. And the strength I've acquired, it's not easily gained. It's taken trouble and time to make me this way. It's taken trouble and time to make me this way. It's taken trouble and time.
And we are clear.